It's a terrible act to follow all of those. Today is all about children, and I will be brief. I think of the many children over the last 30 years as we've celebrated those ministries, and I can only think of the joy that they bring to our lives as we watch them grow and develop in life. But we as a church have a great deal of responsibility in this process. For we have to help to mold and form these lives, teaching them not only with our words, but with our example. Here at church, we want our children to know that God loves them unconditionally, and so do we. We want to build their self-esteem and have them feel good about themselves as unique creations of God. I want to tell you a story about, I was sitting on the screen porch yesterday, and I was close enough that I could see this little six-year-old boy kind of talking to himself, but loud enough so I could hear it, as he strutted through the backyard, and he had his baseball cap in place, and he was toting his ball and bat. And he stopped in this vacant field, and I heard him say, "I am the greatest hitter in the world." And then he tossed up the ball, and he swung his bat, and he missed. And he yelled out, "Strike one!" Undaunted, he picked up the ball a second time, and he threw it up in the air as he said to himself, "I am the greatest baseball hitter ever." And he swung at the ball, and he missed, and he yelled out, "Strike two!" Now he paused a moment, and I was trying to figure out what was going on with him. And he kind of looked at this bat, and he looked at the ball, and then the third time, he threw that ball up into the air, and he said, "I'm the greatest hitter that ever lived." And he swung, and he missed it a third time. He cried out, "Wow, strike three. What a pitcher. I am the greatest pitcher in the world." Now, what a wonderful way of looking at life. We as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and church members all share the responsibility of molding these young lives. And if we don't take this task seriously, there will be severe consequences not only for the church but for society in general. We have to remember that children are not casual guests in our home. They've been loaned to us temporarily for the purpose of loving them and instilling a foundation of values on which they can build their future lives. Here in the church, the children watch you. The children watch you more than you realize, and they learn what they observe. So if the children of this church observe criticism, they're going to learn to be condemned of others and judgmental. If children observe in our church a hostility, they're going to learn to be angry and fight. If they observe ridicule, they may become shy and withdrawn. But if our children observe in our church tolerance, they learn to be patient. If they see encouragement, they learn confidence. If they see praise, they learn to appreciate. If our children observe in our church a fairness with each other, they learn justice. If our children observe in our church approval, they learn to love themselves. If our children observe in our church acceptance and friendship, they will learn to find love in the world. Something that I sit down with couples before a baptism, I remind the parents every time that we need to remember, if we don't teach our beliefs to our children, someone else will. The church needs to be, with the home, the center of our children's spiritual development. I don't know if it's an issue here, but it certainly was in California. I was always hearing a constant rumbling to restore prayer in schools. Well, I'm sorry, but whether legal or not, kids have been praying in school for as long as anyone can remember. We prayed that the school would fall down the night before the math test. I prayed my dad wouldn't see my D. We prayed the most popular classmate would go to prom with me. We prayed for laryngitis so I wouldn't have to dress like a tree and recite that silly Arbor Day poem. Yes, we prayed in school. But I believe this is not another aspect of our responsibility as a church and as families that we can delegate away. The ministry of Christian education should be our top focus at First Congregational Church. As you've seen this morning, we have some wonderful people leading our Christian Ed program. They need your support. Support them by bringing your children on a regular basis. Support them with your talents. Support them with your time. And most importantly, support them with your prayers. A church without children is a church without newness. It's a church without regeneration, without color and vigor. Children must be valued as our most priceless possession. My prayer this morning is that God might bless this most important ministry and those who have worked so hard to make it a success. Amen. This morning, as we spend time in personal and silent prayers, I would ask that you continue to remember Ruth Anderson and Joyce Orr, who are both out at the Lutheran home. Rod Schmidt, as I understand, went home on Friday, and so I know that he appreciates your prayers as well. This morning, as we pray, we celebrate the births of Clara Boyd, who's here this morning, I think for her first time. So it was good, and she's being an angel back there in the back row. As well as the birth of Mason Phillips, we also ask that you continue to surround with your prayers Ruth Perkins. These in the unspoken loved ones of your hearts and your minds, let us now remember in silent prayer.